about that time for PC85 Plays The Curse of Strahd. Podzilla 1985 Network. I am your Dungeon Master, Cody Sandusky. Glad to be back with you as the party of three mounts an assault on Yester Hill. Or at least it feels that way with how tall this hill slash mountain is from their current perspective. The three making their way up this Barovian Everest is the Bloodhunter Bjorn himself in the West Coast. It's the Kazman.
This is how we do it.
Cody, I hate to say, we're going to have to run that whole intro again. I didn't press the button. No, I'm kidding.
Shit.
No, I'm kidding. I just
this
wanted.
Is how
I just,
we fuck it up.
I just wanted to make an appearance. Okay, bye.
Playing Rasmus Thomason, the boy so sweet and so naive that he forgets to press record and pause at the same time on the tape deck when trying to dub over the radio station song. It's Double H.
I guess this is like a viral video or something. Have you seen us?
And her fucking bike's a fucking piece of shit. Playing Zephra, the Argonauti, it's Lindsay Wolfgang.
The back-to-school shopper stupidity has not killed me yet. Let's see what can happen tonight.
Cody,
that's right.
We're getting some major feedback from Lindsay's microphone. We're going to need her to do her intro again.
Are you serious? Or are you fucking
need to go
with
away.
Us still?
All right, bye.
I love that he provided no answer and then did that. The disembodied voice that's trying to interrupt us with his clown pewter talk is the owner, creator, the savant of Podzilla 1985, Shannon Young, who is sir not appearing in this podcast due to, again, Aiden Valmont storming Castle Barovia or Castle Ravenloft.
I think a better explanation
successfully
would be that I'm not appearing because Jesse Kimball got me sick. I hope. I'm gonna go while you guys do this. I hope I don't jack off. All right, bye, guys.
God.
Don't. I have no sequitur for that. Folks, just watch I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson, season one. It's a good time for some. It's an awkward show for others, but they'll deal with it.
It may grow on you. It may want you to turn it off. It just
right.
varies.
Grow on you is a very wide term.
Look, I didn't like it at first. I'm starting to get the humor at this point.
It's turbo time!
It's called Stockholm Syndrome, Lindsay.
Is that my problem?
Shit, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe with Tim Robinson. Anyway.
Oh, my.
There, Shannon, even with not being here, is still here in spirit. And by spirit, I mean soundboard. When last we left you a couple of weeks ago, the party of three, along with the able-bodied Keepers of the Feather, were making their way toward the mountain, or at least the small mountain that is Yester Hill. A hill being a misnomer, as Muriel was warning the party making their way toward this mount. Not just to find what is on top, but also to find the people that are currently captured atop this mountain. A couple of members of the Keepers of the Feather have found themselves captured after a reconnaissance mission went awry, so now it has turned into a rescue mission as well as a seeming fear of what is happening to those that were captured upon their ascent to this. Adrian was telling the party at the beginning, I believe, of last episode that his significant other as well as a son were captured, Claudiu, atop the mountain. So tell me, for those of you that are here with us, any questions you may have before we start making our way toward Yester Hill?
Nothing I can think of.
I don't think so.
I mean, I know it's been a while, but everything was pretty straightforward when we left. We were in a cart or a wagon.
Two of them.
Actually, we were in two of them. Yeah, we mm-hmm. split across two of them. And yeah, I've got all the details in terms of that stuff that I needed, I think.
Okay.
You need to update them details. As solid
Cody,
as they are.
While I'm thinking of it, though, you could answer this for me. Is there a way to get the wizard's key in the itchy and scratchy CD-ROM?
Yeah, I'll just cut to the end of the bit. You can go ahead and start eating that chocolate bar now and retract your question.
I had a chocolate shake before I got on here. If that
Damn
counts.
It, that sounds good.
Sonic is doing them all day for $1.99.
Damn it!
Not just today, it's like a limited time. It's okay.
Okay. Well, you've killed Cass with this information. She's currently choking and coughing.
Oh, shit.
I was angry at the prospect of chocolate.
I walked away. I'm worried about Kaz. I'm legitimately now worried about Kaz. He's running.
Kaz has run off screen.
He's running away.
Someone tell Jane. Okay, he put drink in all caps in the chat. Okay, as long as he's able to drink, that's...
I can't...
Christ alive, we mentioned soft milkshakes. This all happens.
This is actually just a stealth ad for our new sponsor, Sonic Drive-In Restaurants.
Essentially not closing with most kiosks open near you.
Start your day with a Green Mountain Roasters and a breakfast burrito only at Sonic. Open all day in select locations.
Oh, Kaz, damn.
Hit him with that Sonic tagline.
Guttural noises. My favorite advertisement for Sonic.
I got a word.
Oh, shit. Oh, I think my favorite part was Lindsay asked if he was okay, but it didn't pick up. So.
Okay, seriously, is my mic being stupid?
No, you're good now, but you I think you said it in the midst of other stuff, so I saw you just mouth like...
Oh. I made the mistake
of having
curry. Super spicy curry. And most of it just went into my throat and my lungs.
Are you okay?
Alright, Kaz, seriously. On a scale of 1 to 10, what did you tell them when you ordered this meal?
Whatever their spiciest was.
Oh, you're a brave man.
Yeah, and he's getting amazing. Legit stuff out there on the West Coast, too.
I was about to say, yeah, it's not Midwest shit.
Yeah, oh, it pretty God. Much melts your face. Oh, it's so burns so good. I will be there, I promise.
Is that clear?
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh. It just, the timing was so... And then it just, I look in the chat and it says party of three and then drink.
Caps and Kaz is road runnering his way off screen. Oh, shit.
Ooh, yeah, boy.
That's how we enter Barovia, folks. I apologize.
That's Mr. Hill, the assault begins with burning throats.
It's curry time.
Godzilla 1985 Network.
That's how you win.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm glad your voice came back as you continue housing this curry. I'm impressed. You almost died and are right back at it.
That's perfect.
Oh, man. Oh,
son of a bitch. All right, let me see if I can get in the right mindset coming back to this. God damn.
Oh.
Flies are trying to eat my curry.
They will regret it.
Mm-hmm. They're just gonna fall over dead.
Becomes protein.
Gotta get those macros. Those burning macros. Okay, alright. Trying to compose myself here, son of a bitch. We had, just real quickly while I'm getting back to the page of my notes I needed to be at, we went to a Thai restaurant while we were in Omaha, and they gave us the scale of 1 to 10, and because it was my first time there, I was like, I'll do 6. It was good. A little bit of spice. I could have done with some more. We had told Emily, like, hey, you know, you like some spicy stuff. Probably do like a 4. She did a 5 and then had heartburn all night the next morning. So, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there was that regret. No, but
joke.
No. Okay. So, as we mentioned before, the chaos ensued. Two carts making their way toward the base of Yesterhill. And I believe it was either Muriel or Adrian that kind of gestured for you all to look up and kind of raise your eyes to where Yesterhill is, or at least the ascent up to it. If you will look on the map in Roll 20, you will notice on the southeastern edge of these rings, you will see kind of a plus numbers going up. Mechanically, we're going to maybe sidestep a little bit of that, but this hill is about 500 feet up.
That's really high.
Yes. This is a whole thing. Exactly. That's why I was making the bit before we started, you know, going in proper. They call this Yesterhill, but as you all see this, you believe it to be like a mountain proper. to the point that Erwin and Muriel in the separate carts kind of make mention of, this is not just an assault, this is an ascent, and we hope we can get up this in time to find out what's happening to our loved ones.
How steep is this damn road? That's got to be straight up.
I'm not a big fan. I'll admit this is the map from the Curse of Strahd module. I'm not as big a fan of the map as it is, because it does feel that way. It feels like you're climbing at a fucking 60-degree slope.
Like, it's equivalent to like a 50-story building.
Yeah. If it helps, and I know it probably doesn't, one square on this map explicitly is 50 feet. So this whole thing is just... Yeah, it's a mammoth map. That's why I kind of wanted to illustrate, because there's not really a great way to do it in two-dimensional space, that this is the largest landmass. This is the largest anything you've seen since you've arrived in Barovia.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fact that this has been obscured by fog or obscured, or just has not been anything of notice as you've gone this way has... It would probably surprise a couple of you just to think that this has been shrouded here with nothing... Nothing untoward being spoken of about it to this point.
So if you're standing in front at the end zone of a football field, and all of a sudden it started coming up on you, it still wouldn't be as tall as this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, because it'd be two football fields, about 320
yards. That's a visual for you people listening out there.
Yeah. There you go. I like that. Football analogies in our tabletop RPG podcast. I'm very happy with this. It conflates two of my loves.
Could have used a Quidditch field, perhaps.
Yeah, I don't know the dimensions of that.
I don't either. I think it's like 100 miles.
I don't think it's that.
I know brooms can fly, but I feel like that's... Someone check the math on that. Shannon, check the math on that. All right, thanks, Shannon.
Here, man.
Well, I know that was the bit. Because, I mean, Shannon would probably have a witty remark about me telling him to check up something with Harry Potter in the first place.
He's doing a good job at keeping the cats away from my door. So
there you go. So as you all start your ascent up to Yesterhill, and as you start getting toward, I would say, where this 200 foot mark is, that second ring of diamonds or of triangles that you see making around the perimeter. Let's just do the draw tool. Yeah. As you get there, you are starting to see, let me kind of just vaguely... draw a circle around some of the stuff. These things, as you start approaching, this is... From the distance you are and at like the speed you're trying to get up this hill to reach the peak, they just look like broken cobblestone, just kind of assembled together in these locations. But as you kind of make your way through, you would hear in your respective carts someone mention that these are burial stones, burial markers, and also just generally stones cobbled together to mark both the passing of many people in a great battle here, and also just generally trying to create a walled partition for the hill.
Okay. Okay. Good thing we got this road to go straight up in between.
Yeah, you can tell in some respects
that's so we don't disturb the dead.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I mean, you essentially, the joke that may be, Zephra, you get the indication from the person driving your cart that that's what this is. That this path to being up here was meant specifically to try to stay away, not disturb those who had lost their lives on Yesterhill, because it is first and foremost a graveyard. As the ascent continues on your carts, for those of you that can hear in the cart with Muriel, she'll kind of gesture toward the top and say, there was once a shrine in this location of the Mountain Thane, the alleged huntress of the Ladies Three. And a little bit of a spiel she goes into is that this huntress was believed to be one of a trio of archfey goddesses that were in this land before Strahd took over. But that not only because of the forest folk having become twisted under Strahd's reign in this land, has the focus or the worship, attention, devotion to the Ladies Three faded in some respects. The shrine as it is no longer is intact at this point. They kind of gesture again toward the hill, and you are starting to, as you kind of hit that 200 foot mark and are making your way up toward about the 300 foot mark, you can start kind of seeing where the peak is, because at its highest point, or near its highest point, I will give you a indication of that specific location. That Muriel mentions is the shrine to Strahd. This location has been in the eyes of those who would be here, the early fey folk, forest folk, whatever you wish to call them, and even the earlier generations of the Keepers of the Feather. This location has been defiled because of Strahd desecrating shrines, a shrine now being ascended to him here because Strahd believes himself to be the land. He is one and the same, tied and tethered to everything about Barovia and this plane, and it in no small part is represented by this monument to him.
Do not like.
I think we should go up there.
Well, have no fear. If you mention that, you that's where you're heading.
Yeah.
So you continue to pass these grave markers, and again, you kind of see the two rings that you would see as you continue to speed up. You know, there you hear the Irwin, and you hear Adria kind of cracking the whips of the reins on these horses.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, Rasmus, you would be doing the same, likely in concert with Irwin, trying to go as fast as you can, because as Adrian continues like flying on, you can see there's urgency, there is concern. That
is there any people up here or any creatures of any sort around us, or is it fairly barren besides ourselves?
And at these lower rings, there are not, other than just
hearing anything from above? Things.
As you get closer, I'm glad you said it, because as you get closer, as you kind of break this 400 foot mark, I'll kind of give the ping of. As you all kind of breach that point and start reaching higher, you can kind of start seeing the horizon of the hill. You see a number of dark-cloaked individuals kind of standing around, for right now, this monument to Strahd.
Damn it.
Well, we get cultists.
Yeah.
And not only that, as you continue to get closer, and you... Rasmus, you notice kind of a shocked and maybe scared even look on Irwin's face.
Yeah, he realizes that this is the Barovian QAnon.
Yeah, I feel like I've used this bit before, but I'm going to ask him, friends of yours?
It's a good bit.
For the visual, you know, bit on the audio podcast, I'm going to hit you with that head shake from Ray.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, then. Are they aware of us? Like, have we rolled right into their space?
I would say it's even with the speed you are going, being probably 150 feet out, there's not a terrible attention yet. I'm actually going to. Yep. That confirms that. Most of these figures, as you kind of approach, I would say you're, you know, getting up toward the top of this now. They are encamped kind of in a semicircle around this Strahd figure, or the Strahd monument.
So there's a good chance their backs are to us.
That's good.
This group, yes. Muriel... And then the wagon with one of you is going to make a comment and kind of make mention, be ready. We're going to need to hit the ground running. People don't gather here like this without cause or ever. So
can I, and we may be too far out for this, can I estimate how many there are?
Yeah. Let's see who I'll actually, if you don't mind, I'll take control of this red dot to kind of put you where, mm-hmm. We'll ballpark right about there as you guys are approaching that point. The number that are around this specific ring are seven.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not an unmanageable number, but if there's of them,
yeah,
it's going to be
a problem. As you continue on, and you can tell Rasmus that as you guys get about 20, 30 feet from the top here, he kind of motions or kind of corrals the horses to kind of pull to the side. It's as if you're kind of pulling off. You're not. He doesn't seem interested in running this wagon into this group.
Right.
Unless we could use it to our advantage and mow them down.
Yeah, we need both of them to come back.
Get people out.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the problem.
Yeah, and Erwin actually.
Because that was my initial thought too. Was well, we could just plow right into them, but.
Erwin kind of makes mention to you as he does whip this thing kind of to slide it to a stop. Battering rams are great, but transport is better.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I'm assuming that these people aren't going to be up for a logical discussion. A game of backgammon over a discussion of Wittgenstein.
No, I think you're it's a shrewd assessment you've made of these individuals, sir. I don't think they are there for that.
We could confuse them with a proposal of that very thing.
I haven't played backgammon in so long.
Especially if we have a board and we just put it on the ground and we point at it.
All right, well, not to get too metagamey here, but if we want to surprise them, I'm not the person to do it. So somebody's going to have to sneak up there and get this party started if that's what we're doing.
I mean, I'm going to be real honest with you. I think now that the carriage is only a couple dozen feet away.
They've probably heard the horses, if nothing else.
Oh, yeah. They've been chanting. Whatever.
No, that's the Mothman.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There you go.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
As you guys stop, bring these two carriages to a stop, you are now just mere feet away from where this circle of stones is. So... in this circle of stones, now that you are in plain view, stands a twisted effigy of wood and vines resembling Strahd von Zernovich.
I want to burn that so bad.
Right?
From your vantage point as you come up, where the heart should be in this statue or in this monument, whatever it is, being of wood and vine, is a spear of black material. Like, you just see a black spear embedded around where the heart would be.
In the statue thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
I lean over. How close am I to Rasmus?
I mean, I'd assume as you all are disembarking your wagons, you're probably just feet away.
We're
like, enough
it,
to
right?
be heard. Yeah.
I just kind of like, I'm assuming that we're starting to kind of rabble rouse the locals here in this rocky area. So I lean into Rasmus, and I'm just kind of like proposing an idea, since we can't really like get the surprise here, and I'm assuming everything's moving very quickly. I lean into him, I'm like, how about I just like set that thing afire and occupy them while we just take care of our business? Something tells me that there'll be at least a non-zero amount of them that want to put it out.
See, as I'm like shielding up, I'm just gonna go, for once I'm okay with the idea of you and your pyromania.
All right, click, send. Because once you let an arrow go, you can't get it back.
Okay, so you're just gonna light it on fire and send it?
Fuck yeah, I'm burning that. It becomes an effigy.
Okay, you go. Give me a roll.
Yep. Just
oh god, Cody's very excited about this.
What's that?
Just a regular hit DC.
Yeah, 24. Or whatever your bolt roll would be on that.
24.
Okay, yeah, you embed that cross bolt into this wooden effigy.
It was on fire, by the way. I lit it on fire.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Was is probably the appropriate word in this moment, because as soon as it hits that wooden vine, it hits, and it almost, like from your vantage point, seems like it wraps and swallows it.
Dang.
Oh.
Well, at least we learned something. There's a lesson in this.
Actually, the one thing you would notice as well, go ahead and give me all of you a perception check.
Shit.
Bjorn, I'll give you advantage on it because you're the one that shot this bow, so you're specifically looking toward this thing.
It's all good. I got advantage already.
Damn, 19 plus 7, I think. Perception? Yeah, 26.
21.
Okay. 3.
All right. Zephra, you notice nothing. You are with Muriel trying to get through all of this, ready to go. You know, prepare yourself. For the two of you, specifically Bjorn especially, but you both do see this. You see a liquid. You don't know of what from this distance yet, but you see something kind of ooze out where that was.
It's a living effigy.
Go ahead.
Out of character, kick them into the thing. Push them into the... Anyway.
So, that happens. I presume that all of you, because I can say that Erwin, Adrian, and Muriel are, you know, in human form, approaching, like, with little hesitation toward this gathering of people. And toward the statue. Do you say, okay, so... Bjorn says, do the same.
Yeah, I assume that was the plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. Let me drop you guys in there. I didn't think about that. Sorry. Let me go to the tokens and pull some people in.
I'm assuming we're going to be either very, very large or very tiny on this thing.
Well, we're going to find out. I've tried scaling it so it'd be a little bit more reasonable.
I'm a giant.
All right, Big Show, calm down.
Well, no,
Bjorn.
We fit the squares. I mean,
that's 50 feet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So,
or at least I'm 50 feet arm span.
I'll go ahead and see if I can drop this in real quick for you all. In some of my prep materials, the reason I'm using this map as opposed to, well, at least right now, I'm using this map to kind of give us the overall. Let me give y'all the viewpoint from the true real to size view of what this map would look like if we were doing proper scaling. Just dropped it in the text chat.
Oh, is it a video?
No, it's a image.
Hey, that's weird.
Oh shit.
Wow. We're little tiny bugs.
If it was in proper scale, that's what it looks like. The joke of the person I mentioned is that one player started the battle on the complete opposite end of the stone circle, about a football field away.
Fuck.
So, you know, for those of non-American football fans listening at home, that's, without the end zone's 100 yards, and thinking his speed is 30 feet per move, or 60 if you dash.
Yep.
This is not hospitable to that. So, we're using this portion of the map for right now as the reference point. So, like I said, I wanted to give you guys the view of it, but we'll...
We're about the size of one of those effigy's toes.
This effigy is tall. This, you look up, it is a sizable entity. But
I didn't know that before.
As the six of you... Oh, I'll let Kaz move his thing. I don't know why I'm moving it. As the six of you kind of make your way into this stone circle, you hear a specific voice inside that semicircle just yell, "Stoomage 3!" And you see these seven druids, or the seven hooded figures that you saw in the semicircle in front of this effigy, sprint in this direction. They're going toward this. Like, they break their way down this way. Left there is one crimson-robed individual and a pretty roughed up, maybe even bloodied person before them.
Oh, they sacrificed somebody.
The voice of this person coming from behind the hood gets a chuckle. "They said you'd come. Fools. You and them both." You see, as this hooded figure kind of turns around to look at you all, "It's already begun. The work has started. You are likely too late." The woman that's bloodied is in front of this effigy, like knee on her knees, like looking up at this person. This person has her face kind of grasped, like under the chin, in their hand. And they turn it away, as they turn to you, first of all, as they turn, you get a good view, at least you see the person behind this hooded figure now, and Adrian and Muriel both yell, Stefania! It's one of the people that were captured in this. The figure that has now turned around, they kind of take off their hood, and you see a headdress, kind of a smaller one, of twisted antlers. And coming out from a hand that was kind of shrouded as they pull this out, they kind of withdraw their hand from the robe, and you see a fist-sized gem or jewel in their hand. Just like looking at it and looking at all of you now.
There's a feeling in my gut that we skipped over the level, the areas that had that for our level, and we've ended up in another area that's way higher level than we should be in.
The scaling is all off.
It wouldn't be
off.
The first time we did something stupid.
I'm level 10, and we're over there in like the tundra, level 30 to 40 here.
We speed ran no clips into an area we're not supposed to be.
Good horse.
Final Fantasy 10 fans at home, you guys are fighting Sin, and Sin was not supposed to be here.
Fuck. Well, I feel like this is not going to be something we could just like. We can't convince them. You know what? Hold on. I want to try to convince them to let this individual go.
Okay. You can certainly begin the persuasion process to do that.
Yep, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about it. So I start.
Okay. Why not? Can I aid him?
You know, sure. Sure. This person, again, this gnarled, twisted antler headdress or crown kind of comes down to their eyebrows, so you have not a full view of their eyes.
Oh, yeah. They seem reasonable.
This person, you know, looks at the gym and then looks at you. I see some of the vineyard's finest and fellows have made their way here.
Okay. So if they like wine, then we could perhaps also deal, too. So I
think they're talking about us.
Oh. Well, I point at one of the random ones. I'm like, that's a good vintage. So we can chat here. The one that you're holding... We need to speak to this person. We need them for reasons. And I just want to like explain to them why we need them. I don't know why. We'll just assume that I talk well about it. And I'm gonna throw down some. What'd you say? Perception? No, not perception. Persuasion.
Sweet.
Here it goes.
Go ahead, and throw down some persuasion.
Yeah. What can Hunter help me with? What you dropping? There's an 18 for something.
It's an aid check, I'm assuming, so I just have to pass the DZ too.
Oh, okay.
Do I give him advantage, or does he get a plus bonus?
We'll do a plus.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to need
it. So is it my bonus, or are you just going to give him a number?
I was going to pull up your character sheet to look at your bonus. So your persuasion
is a plus 5.
Yeah. So go for it, Bjorn.
Well, is it persuasion that I need, or can I use something like... Is he animal-like? I can handle him? Or perhaps using religion against him?
As much fun as those sound, I think right now your conveyance is going to be persuasion.
All right.
So instead of a minus 1, you get a plus 4 now to that roll.
He wants to handle the animal.
Okay. So you rolled a 19 plus a 5 is a 23?
Yes. Right. And I'm using a lot of persuasion.
Yeah. Okay. So you're offering wines from the Wizard of Wines. Is that what you said you're doing here?
Yep, exactly.
This person is a little taken aback initially because, again, everything in this scene does not portray a welcoming party. So the fact that you came up here and immediately started like a negotiation does flummox this person for a moment.
That's what you gotta do. You gotta catch them off guard with good tactics and a deal. Always be closing.
They're just pure insanity.
Sometimes it works. Shh, wine.
They look at you and they mention, I don't think you understand. And they gesture toward you briefly, but more so to the three Mardikov family members, and then back to Stefania on the ground before coming back. The land is fine. The land is fruitless without what I have here.
Yeah, I didn't ask you about
that. And they know it.
I want that.
It's on the rocks we need.
A negotiation. All of the... Okay. Eshgar is amenable to negotiations. All of this can be reversed if you give me what I want.
What do you want? We're speaking freely here, creature of the night.
You see a little bit of a snarl come out when you call them a creature of the night.
It's a compliment. Perhaps
we are
taken differently in the local area.
We are druids. We are... These people may have once known us as Kavani. But now we are worshippers and alliances, allies to Strahd. You may see it as night, but we see it as the day hope.
Creature of hope, then it is. Oh, ye creature of hope. I'm kind of like, in the process of this, I occasionally kind of like look over at Rasmus just to kind of like get an eye on them, seeing if they're fanning out, doing anything in particular.
I feel like I should be at the very least using this as some kind of a distraction.
Right. That's exactly what I'm hoping.
I mean, the problem is I'm not particularly good at sleight of hand. The only thing I can really think to do is that potentially I could... like try to glean some information about, I mean, if he's talking all this shit about who they are,
yes.
Is there any way for me to like pick up on any of that? I know anything about them. Cody, for the visual, I'm picturing Black Widow just convincing Loki to give up his whole plan. That's what I'm going for here. Like they start talking shit and then I catch in on, oh, that's what you're trying to do. Or yeah. Oh, that's who you are. Now I know who you are. I know this weakness about you, or I know this thing that might be helpful.
Okay.
Yes, and at that point, I'm kind of doing what our equivalent to like winking is, like yes.
Okay. So Bjorn is stalling.
With a 24.
Rasmus, I'll ask, and it's admittedly not going to be much to achieve here. Go ahead and give me a. Well, in your case, you'll definitely, barring a critical fail, give me a perception check with advantage.
Honestly, okay. When you said sleight of hand, I had this visual in my head of you pickpocketing.
Well, that's a 22, but keep let's see coming. If I can do better. No, that's not better. That's an 18. Okay.
All right. So you notice two things. You notice, as you're kind of observing and panning between Bjorn and toward this person that is identified themselves as Keshgar. You notice that black spear inside of this effigy, or placed into this effigy, starting to shake a little bit. More to the point, though, while you notice that, as you kind of pan to survey away from Keshgar in this interaction, you look down, slightly down the hill, so you're at this peak and you'd be kind of looking down a little bit, not out of sight too far.
Yeah.
There is a large tree, and those individuals that were pointed away by Keshgar have now encamped it in a circle, and you're starting to hear some things chanting from down that way.
Okay. Wait, we're right on the map here? Is that like this little volcano looking thing?
Southwest. Yeah. The way he's describing. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So somewhere in the next county.
Yeah,
that's
it
a
is
good
a ways
picking up.
Yeah.
It is a ways away.
So it's like hearing somebody like legit on the other side of campus.
Okay.
I mean, just to give you a little bit of discussion about how this is, because I mentioned they're kind of sounding it, you can tell that they have fully engaged in what is happening here.
Uh-huh.
Like, those people down that way are full-throated in this chant.
All right.
And they're the ones that ran off from the initial thing, right?
That's the direction where some of their, where they went, yes.
Okay.
As I'm continuing my conversation with him, I'm asking questions as well, just like in slight, like as it's happening. I'm like, you know, just to make this easier, what's your name? My name is, what was my name? Bjorn.
Bjorn.
It's not delivery, it's Bjorno.
Hey.
I like fancy that we glossed play. Over the part where he goes, what's my name?
Hunter, so many great rappers start with that line before they go into some sick bars, but very few
what's
of them
name?
Forget Bjorn.
And I'm asking him, so that's mine, now that I remember it, what is yours? Do you remember yours?
Do you remember your name?
God damn it!
He's going full on psycho.
I don't know how much attention this guy's paying to me, and I know I can't really be particularly quiet, but I'm gonna be as quiet as I can and turn to the Markovs and just go, we need to get down there. Like, something's happening down there. I think we're being distracted as much as we're doing the distracting.
It's
locked in a Mexican standoff up here.
Right. So you make that mention, and as you do that, Keshgar looks at Bjorn and looks at you because they notice that you're kind of trying to get the attention of the others. Go ahead. This one and I can talk. They may wish to stay for this or for her. As they continue to turn that, like, fist-sized gem in their hand. And they gesture back. They've already begun. And what I want will happen in due time.
Wait, you know, I've gotten so far away from playing this character, but I don't know how else to do this anymore, especially without Aiden here. I feel like at this point I would just turn to Bjorn and go, you know, if he's dead, then there's not really anything for him to get.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
As in kill this person?
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious about that seemingly infinity stone in his paw.
It's just a pretty rough.
What better way to get it into yours than kill him?
Yeah. To transport you to the other side of space.
And I'm asking him genuinely, creature of hope to creature of hope here. I'm hopeful that you will inform me what's that shiny thing. If we're talking deal, maybe we can make this more lucrative.
So much of me wants to do this in character, and I don't know how to do it in real time, like earnestly. Alright, we'll do it both ways. All of you are aware now, as this person is speaking of it, I'm not going to make it a perception or insight check, you're aware. This is one of those three gems that were buried in the ground at the Wizard of Wines that made the land fruitful.
And that was my guess,
Yes, this is one of those three, and with everything that you have heard discussed, at least two of the three are gone, and this is that third one.
Yeah.
Keshgar is taunting the Mardukovs with this. Bjorn, you hear as Muriel sprints toward where Rasmus was referencing, it's one of the gems, you dumbass! Let's go!
Wait, who said that?
Muriel.
Okay, I turn to Muriel and go, thank you for that. Now, as far as for this gem.
Oh my god. Okay, cool. So Bjorn is playing Monopoly. What do the rest of you wish to do? Because I feel like I got what Rasmus and the Mardukovs are doing.
I mean, they're running toward the tree, right?
Yes.
That's the plan?
Yeah,
I am keeping attention as long as I fucking can.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to split this party in two specifically.
Oh, God.
So the rest, the five of you.
I'm going to die.
Adrian, Muriel, Erwin, Rasmus, and Zephra, make your way toward that tree. And I will just, before we pivot back to Mr. Monopoly's negotiation school here. You all going toward it, you see kind of going down the hill, so you have a little bit of advantage point. Half a dozen humanoid, you believe them to be humans just with everything you've seen so far, kind of smeared with mud, are shouting chants at this massive black tree. It's like the color of ebony. Like, this tree is black, almost as if it has been scorched but is intact, but it just has this black, dense, like, void of light there. And those entities are locking in arms around it.
It's not heads, like, off of it.
Seven more are dancing around them. As you go down, you perceive it to be, and again, because you're going into it and it wasn't subtle, the figures that Keshgar directed to the tree, swinging axes, like, in celebration.
Ooh. Wait a minute. So wait, the whole, like, as I'm distracting this fella, the rest of the group, like, in full, are heading down to the other, like, down here?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, this ain't going as I planned.
No, Kaz, I can't say that it is.
I was hoping they would lean into the this it'd be better if he's dead thing, but all right, let's roll with it.
I mean, we're here to help the bird family. I'm going with the bird family.
So you all go in, and again, as you go down this hill, you get closer, and we're going to hand wave distances. Like, it's not that it's going to be this terrible far away. I think this map is ludicrously developed, so bear with it. As you all go down, you see, like, slightly above where head level is of those entities locked in arms yelling at this tree, you see what looks like an open maw in the trunk of the tree with, like, what looks like wooden teeth, like wooden spikes, canines coming down to form a mouth. And you see a body inside of that maw.
Oh.
That's not good.
Break from those five. Let's pivot back to Negotiation Station and one Bjorn the Bloodhunter. Keshgar is going to look at you, Bjorn.
Yes.
And with a smirk, put the gem, like, into a satchel that's, like, tied around their waist of the robes.
So that's not part of the, that's not on the table then. Not willing to give that jewel up.
The only thing.
Come on, talk Kesha out of it.
As they pull their hands apart, and you see, like, streams of blood being in play between their hands as they, like, gestulate as if they're, like, preparing something.
This is not good.
The only thing at play is your life, theirs, and Winter Splinter finding its way to Castle Ravenloft. Friends, let's roll for some initiative.
Okay.
Mm. Wait, what? Oh, shit. Well, one-on-one it is. That ain't good.
I got a big old whopping 12.
All right. That's going to be more than my 4.
Ouch.
I got 4.
What's your bonus?
That is with my... No, 8.
I was about to say some bitch. So let me tell you, I haven't rolled initiative for all of those yet. The entities being pursued by the five. But Kaz, I'll give you a warning. This person's initiative is a 19. So.
Yeah, I figured.
This is where I'm going to drop some music in because we're going to need that.
I was about to go dead air.
Yep,
yep. I was distracted by a cat meowing at my door.
I'm trying my best not to play stuff that's, like, not very usable on recordings. So I'm trying to make sure I keep using the same stuff I'm not a fan of. I need to make more robust my collection here.
That's okay.
Oh, but as we get that prepared, where's everybody located at this point? I feel like that's pretty important.
You are up the hill. We are down the hill.
Oh, yep. Why'd y'all go down there?
Yeah, I'm going to just generally move.
Oh, y'all said let's kill that. Y'all said he's better dead, so I was trying to distract him so y'all could like get
the
move.
I made a suggestion, and then the family ran off.
That's their decision.
Oh Lord! Look at that beefcake.
Oh, don't spread the sickness.
Oh,
it's
getting
everywhere. Yep.
See, the arm would be hurting if you got a shot in it.
Oh, I heard that pop.
Well, I think he just got broken more.
And he's out.
This is the time that he needs to come back on camera and swoop in and be like, come in behind me, leap over my back, and like stab this guy in the face.
He's not an Eric Croker this time.
Oh, you say?
He's a spy.
Not yet.
There you go.
Has requires your Eric Croker to come and play.
I need you to wait. He can't hear me. Never mind.
Ha ha! Cat.
That's a feline.
Uh huh.
Okay. He's a cat of a different nature.
Why does this sound like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man is marching down Central Boulevard?
Oh, well.
Wait, y'all hear something? I don't hear nothing.
I'm sorry, you guys. It's the first thing that popped into my head. We used to roast marshmallows at Camp Wakanda.
You're at Camp Wakanda?
That's what it is! Have you ever looked at it?
Is it really like...
But it's spelled differently. It's W-A-C-O-N-D-A. Yeah, it's Camp Wakanda. It's what he says in the movie.
That's hilarious.
Well, what movie? I don't know why my brain is forgetting it. It's like I feel like that's a connection. Yeah, W-A-C-O-N-D-A. God, because that's funny.
Yeah.
I don't know why my brain's like, wait a minute. It's when
Ray summons the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in Ghostbusters, they're going, what did you do, Ray? And he's like, it's just the first thing that popped in my head. He goes, we used to roast marshmallows at Camp Wakanda in the summer. Yeah, it's Wakanda. It's just spelled differently.
Differently, yeah.
Gaz is making sad noises.
Yep, he's not feeling great.
He is frustrated.
I'm just kind of like melting in place, just realizing that like everyone rolled out.
Yeah.
And
sorry.
I'm just like,
I mean, you can also roll out.
He's got blood hands, man. There's something that's about to happen.
I feel like, this is actually a salient point as I'm kind of doing a little bit of math here to get us ready for what's going to be this and likely the next episode's fun and excitement. That's something we haven't really talked about in this game. Running is always an option. I understand that most of the party has not adopted that mindset at any points, but running is always an option.
I don't like to sweat, so that's why I don't run.
Okay, so help me. I got a question. If I was to, let's say I was to wolf out, does that add any benefit to my exiting ability?
I mean, doesn't it? Doesn't it give you increased speed? While I'm looking that up, Hunter, what was your roll for that
Four.
Again? I'm sorry. Four. Okay. No, that's right.
For
that's
initiative.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, no. My speed's just 30 feet.
Your strength is what gets benefit. That's right. I don't know why I thought for whatever reasons you had a feral benefit to doing that.
What is it? Lycanthropy.
It seems like he should probably.
Right. Like something you go quadruped and you gain speed based on that.
Yeah. I mean, that would make sense. Speed increase hybrid form. Let's see. Let's see what Google's got for me. Speed increases by 10 feet, but that's for level 7. What are we?
Not that. Level 5.
Why didn't you level us faster?
Motherfucker, do you want to die tonight?
Maybe.
I mean, it's true. Maybe is a possible phrase in this.
I'm shaking my fist at whatever is the creator of this area, the game master. I'm going, why didn't we get bigger quicker?
Well, you know.
Get bigger.
Yep.
Quicker.
Yep. In this Game Master's defense, there were a couple of ways you guys could have gone that wasn't like Valaki or, you know, blowing the roof off of the fucking, or no, excuse me, burning down the Burgomaster's house.
Wait, I mean, technically he did that himself. None of us just happened to have water attack the hell.
Technically his like second in command did it.
Yep, they did it to themselves. This is self-inflicted. We have been framed.
Yeah, okay.
With that, as he's doing his bloody hands, I'm assuming something like negative quite is going to happen. So,
I mean, can you use his blood somehow?
Interesting. I am lacking. I could use more. But I'm not really up for testing that theory. So I look at him and I'm like, okay, so seems to be that we're come to an impasse here on our negotiations. I see that you're not really interested in relinquishing said gem in your satchel. I see that you have, well, is the person behind you still an option as far as letting them go? Letting them go before we engage in our actions. I'm using my most professional tone with him.
Yes, you certainly are. There's no more discussion about that. There's okay. Just the twisting of the hands and then a snap of the hands. And you see surrounding you in a 20-foot radius. Let me go ahead and draw that on here. Just, again, bear with my terrible in estimates, but generally around that area. You are surrounded on the ground with twisting and sprouting hard spikes and thorns.
Damn it.
To give you what the game mechanic is of this, this is difficult terrain, and if you move within this area while this spell is in place, you take piercing damage for the feet you travel.
So he's pretty much just surrounded me in briar bush.
Yeah. Really painful, really sharp briar bush.
Is it jumpable?
What's your flat-footed jump?
A wolf's jump high.
Okay, but remember, so you have to spend an action to transform, right? It's a bonus action.
Action. I can just be like, wolf.
Jumping ability is keyed to strength for what it's worth.
Yes.
And that is
a neutral stat for you. Athletics is beneficial, at least, in that respect.
I do have that. I've got athletics.
Yep.
Yeah, so I am going to... Yeah, I would actually... I guess my question is like, if I'm looking upon this, is this a logical thing that I could, is it rational that I could jump over it, or am I looking at like the wall of a house, like the roof, and going, I'm gonna jump up there?
No, it's like I said, as this looks from your perspective, it's just 20 feet of like these gnarled roots and spines and things on the ground. It's not like a wall of it. It just is the terrain level.
Just the terrain. Okay, yeah. Because I do want to get out from this situation, so that is my first goal, is to try and leap over it to get away from it and away from Bloody Hands over here.
Okay.
And in doing this, excuse me, kind of as just a reaction to the situation, because apparently my persuasion isn't going as well as expected, I do go ahead and clip over into hybrid form, hoping that this also startles it.
Okay. No.
Yes. Yes, that's what's happening. And in process of that, I do try to leap over the bush and get away. Due south.
Okay. So, the long jump, how it is, you cover a number of feet up to your strength score if you move at least 10 feet on foot before the jump. When you make a standing long jump, you leap half that distance. So,
what is the distance of these things? 5 feet?
Yeah. Yeah, just assume as we're operating now that the arenas we are in is 5 feet.
All right. And then it's athletics check?
Yeah, because I would like to have an athletics check from you. Mind you, you have advantage because I want to see how that plays out for you trying to just like flat-footed long jump your way out of the situation.
Not well. I guess I distracted myself. Fantastic.
Yep. Okay. So,
two dice. I just not good.
Yeah, so you transform and you see kind of a shocked expression on this person as you do this.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not expecting this. Mind you, this person's aware that hybrid forms exist, obviously, because of the Keepers of the Feather, but into a wolf is not expected. I think they were expecting something along the lines of another flight-capable creature. So you do this. I'm going to go ahead and say that you make it about 15 feet into the 20-foot radius. But you are still going to land in difficult terrain, and you are actually going to take the damage from this.
Of course.
Because you are entering in the area for it. Grab these. You are going to take 5 points of piercing
God
damage.
Damn, that's painful. Okay. Took it like a wolf.
Yes. Yes, you did. Although... Actually, this will benefit you a little bit. I'm going to give you a little bit of a feature of what you have. You have resilient hide, yes. So you are going to be a bit resistant, so take that down to 3. Excellent. I forgot about that component about you in that respect.
Party of three.
Party of three, indeed. Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
So that has happened. This blood druid, and I'll just give you, that's what this person is, obviously, with everything going on. I figure you can kind of piece the two together there. Keshgar sees you trying to do this. Another transforming being. Okay. As they kind of continue to oscillate, you see a little bit of that blood start to flicker between each hand again. I can also do something of that ilk. And you see them kind of draw down into themselves for a moment. And then... like, and not quite hulking up in terms of a growth of size, but you see them like almost like this blood creates a bit of an aura around them. They have entered a blood rage.
What? Wait.
No. Don't worry. We'll come back to that.
I'm trying to figure out when their turn went, when mine went, and whose turn it was.
So that was... their turn was spike growth, is what the spell was they used initially. Your turn was the action of trying to get out through the jump. And
so I didn't have anything other than an action? I couldn't attack?
No, because you would have had a bonus action, then your action would have been in terms of movement, and because you're in difficult terrain, it technically takes double the movement. So
Got it.
So you are encamped in there. This person has kind of... has blood raged. You actually look and see that the area around their eyes has turned red as blood. And we will pause on that and pivot back to the others. Rasmus, Zephra, the two of you, as well as the three Mardukovs, well, two Mardukovs and Vinshaw, as Muriel's just a part of the feather, you know what I mean. As you sprint toward this, Adrian... is keeping pace with you. As you get closer to this tree, you hear him say, "My God, Claudio."
Well, we know who's in the tree.
It doesn't take much to piece two and two together there. Claudio is in this tree. And you can see as you get closer, you are now approaching that ring of people dancing with axes around the group of druids. You can see through that Claudio is in a rough shape. He is very much beat up. These wooden spines coming off the maw of this tree are like piercing his skin as he is in there. this is a sacrifice, and it's draining him. As you come close to this point, as you're approaching, like you guys are going to be within melee distance of these entities swinging these axes, you also can see, you start seeing bulbous black fruit on the branches of this tree. The axe-wielding individuals turn around, you know, at least turn their attention toward you, and we're going to actually, for the two of you, in lieu of a... this is generally where I wanted to have the other map, but this will be the best place for this. If it'll let me do the thing I want, because... Has anyone else been having trouble with the UI since they've updated it in Roll20? Because it seems to be, like, far pickier for me now.
This is the first time I'm messing with it, actually.
Yeah. Some of the tools, like, specifically the reveal areas, don't seem to, like, always work when I try them. It's kind of a pain in the ass. But, generally, you guys have the area. So, take this as what you will. The one thing I don't like and I wanted to have in this is the tree. I'll kind of give you a square location of where the tree is. Let me go back to here. So that's about as good a color as any. Because of what it's trying to draw, the tree would be about here. And so you have a little bit of this natural stone cover, but you would have... Let me give you these as well. Drawing shapes, you're going to have these six druids, again, locked arm in arm around the tree. Kind of protecting it. My spacing be damned on what it is. They are interlocked, chanting at this tree. And you all are going to come into this map and have a few axe-wielding berserkers to deal with in your stead. Let me throw it.
Are we still looking at the big atlas map?
Yes, you are, because I forgot to drag this over. Here we go. That probably makes more sense to what I've been referencing.
Oh,
yes.
Things are hard. Maps are hard. Okay.
It's okay.
I don't want to draw. Again, spacing is going to be a little bit peculiar for this, the whole thing, because even the smallest maps that Reddit made for this are massive.
Jeez.
Yeah, like this whole thing is made to be, like, honestly bigger than it should be. So I kind of am just using the resources, the best ones I can find available, and we're going to adapt as it goes. So, the six cloaked entities you would have seen when you first started making your way here are now revealed to be berserkers.
Great.
Wielding those axes, dancing in celebration.
Vendable.
And they are going to try to impede your path to get to where this is all happening. So, loop, you son of a bitch, loop. All right, so I'll drag you guys into the map, and then as it starts, I'll let you position where you think you are going to be here, because I'll defer to what you guys have insight for in terms of, like, battle planning. So, Rasmus, Zephra, Erwin, I'm going to use Danica as a stand-in for... Muriel. And
so are we down like a little ravine there, like a little trench, or?
Yeah. Again, topology of this may be a little bit less important. I would say that it's like trampled upon land or maybe washed out a bit, but it's not like there's a mechanical difference for you all getting up to where they're at.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not difficult terrain or anything.
Correct. Yeah, this time everything is normal. It's just
okay.
Yeah. Those are bigger than I want. I had one for Adrian, and he has apparently now disappeared from my Roll20 queue. So thanks, thanks, Cody. So we'll just use this person. There we go. Okay. So position where you wish, and we will start this underway.
I mean, I presume I'm going to be... Well, I'm slower than everybody else, so actually, I'm probably right where I am is where I'd be if we're entering from the north there.
Okay. All right, so if that's where it starts, then we're going to... Yeah, they're staying encamped where they're at. I'm going to kind of group them in order. The one here is going to go ahead and give the movement to you, Rasmus.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to swing what is... you notice, because these are a bit larger than you expected, a great axe is going to be swung at you. Yeah, don't worry about it. This person, in the excitement of everything happening, not being in maybe the position they thought they ought to be when all of this started, I mean, Keshgar did command them to go this way, almost kind of as if they didn't expect to be involved in all of this that well, other than celebrating. They're caught off guard a little bit, but they are going to make their way to the rest of you and try to engage. But so far, no scratches on Rasmus, as you are able to deftly move a haphazard swing away with your shield.
Nice.
Green is going to relatively stay in location. If anything, they're actually going to backpedal a little bit to serve as kind of a protection for the encampment of druids that are around this tree. But you hear a yell to attack! Just generally from this one falling back, and the others are going to move forward. They're not going to have the speed to do it, to get all the way to you all, but they are going to move forward as if to prepare to fight. That 10, 20, 30... this one. Cool. All right. So that is going to be that for them. The druids at this point, they are next to the initiative order, have no reaction to you all. They are continuing to chant. They are doing their thing. And you, again, if you were to look, you continue to see bloods continuing to like drip and drain out of Claudiu inside of the maw of this tree. That's going to bring us to Zephyra. You are actually next up in the order.
Oh, goody. And of course, they all run up on it. Let's see here. I am going to cast a spell. I just got to decide which one I want to do. Let's see. I am going to cast Ray of Frost onto pink, because they are the closest one to me.
Okay.
Need to remember what I gotta roll on. 4.
Yep. +4 to your spell casting. Or yep. I think it's just +4 to a d20.
Yep. That's what I'm doing. Typing is hard today. Gosh darn it! I got a whole whopping 7.
Yeah, that ray of frost goes out from how you cast it, I assume, just kind of with your hands throwing out the blue-white light that comes with ray of frost. And this berserker, as they're coming toward you, they have hide armor, and in terms of what they have in terms of light hide armor, but those cloaks they have, you notice now being closer, they are more like a pelt, and they're able to like turn their shoulder in the pelt to that ray of frost, and it does not impact them. You see it kind of crystallize cold and kind of or condensation on the pelt, but they throw their shoulder back after you do that, and they kind of gear up with that great axe.
In the meantime, I am going to move slightly up in hopes of them maybe putting their focus on me so that the other members of our party can try to move forward to get their family member. So okay. I'm just going to move up slightly.
All right.
And leave it there.
You can definitely do that. So that's going to move us to Erwin, who at least in the moment is fixated on clearing the path, including these. So Erwin's just going to run right up on this person. Erwin has a short sword, so he's going to go ahead. He will have drawn it out at this point, but he is just going to try to strike this person with a short sword. Give him his roll. A And he is going to likewise, this berserker is going to be able to throw out the head of their axe, is going to be able to catch that short sword and pivot it, parry it out of the way. So Erwin is unable to land a blow on this person, and he steps back, or well, steps to the side maybe, trying to find himself an advantageous position to make a decision. Adrian, out of all of them, is going to... He looks for a second. He just surveys. If you were to kind of have the cinematic moment, you see that he doesn't know what he can do in this situation. It feels almost as if everything is at a loss. Any decision he makes could be dangerous or deadly for everybody involved. But you just see him quickly throw out his arms and those wings come out. He is going to be in hybrid mode. He's going to be in a hybrid between the two. He takes a dagger in each hand and he flies toward the tree. And you see him, he's going to throw a dagger at the druid here in the center. You almost get, for the two of you that are looking at this, this is a desperation play. Like, seeing his family decimated in this way is... There's no time for hesitation, it's just go. So he throws that dagger as my die bounces out of my tray. Cinematic.
Aggressive die.
That's right. Did not like to stay in the confines. This dagger hits this druid center mass. Like, no hesitation about it. This druid is caught in the chest, and it is already taken to a knee. Like, the chant stop. Well, I say chest, I guess, in the back, because they're facing the tree. Catches it in the back, and it kind of drops to a knee, like, almost slumping out of the linked arms. And you just hear a no! As the two on either side of this druid try to pull them back up. But this disrupts things for just a moment. And as he does this, Muriel has a realization of the same thing. The berserkers are just like Keshgar, or they're a distraction. And as she starts to sprint her way, she's actually going to dash mechanically. She's going to go through you, Zephra. She is going to take the attack of opportunity against the berserker. She is just going to yell at all of you, "Get to the druids! The tree is the goal!" Attack of opportunity is going to fail. So, Zephra, you see Muriel, still in human form. She is not transformed in any other version yet. Sprints past you. The berserker in orange swings their axe to try to catch her as she's passing by, almost like they're trying to embed a football in someone's stomach going on a run play. Muriel is able to take a quick step to the left, avoid that axe, and finishes her movement and gets to there. She is focused on this tree. Pivot back briefly to Bjorn, as my roll 20 has seemingly locked up. Bjorn, you are stuck in this animated briar patch.
Mm-hmm.
Keshgar, red around their eyes now, just looks at you and says, "The distraction was the point for both of us. But fear not. We shall succeed. We shall rise with Winter Splinter." And at the mention of that name, Bjorn, you looking a little bit past Geshkar, it'd be like almost over their shoulder, you see that black spear inside of the chest of the effigy of Strahd twitch again. And that's where we'll cut it off. So the game is afoot.
Shit.
Yeah, the game is afoot. The entire party has decided to engage in Mortal Kombat. Not trademarked. This is actual, just like with a C, not with a K. I can't shake the blood character from Scarlet from Mortal Kombat now that I'm actually running this person. Like, I thought about it mechanically, but now it's just embedded in my head, and Shannon may or may not be happy with that decision.
Hey, just real quick, did my initiative just not come up yet, or?
Yeah, you are, with four, you are last. I was actually going to give you an opportunity to lead things off next time. I wanted to give you kind of the view of everything.
I got you. Yeah. I thought you were going back to them for turns, and I was like, wait a minute.
No, that was intentional.
You just don't count today.
No,
four is pretty bad, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, no, four unfortunately was the bottom, but mechanically I wanted to give Rasmus, someone who typically considers their actions before they go, you have a chance to do that at the start of the next go, right?
I'll take it. Yeah. That sounds good. All right.
So that is where we stand on that, and that is where we stand on this episode of PZ85 Plays the Curse of Strahd on the Podzilla 1985 Network. Thank you so much for joining us again. In Media Res is where we will join our party next week as they make their way into combat against the Druids, against Keshgar. What is the purpose of the spear? What is the outcome of Stefania and Claudiu? What is Winter Splinter? We'll probably find out. But before we do that, we've got another week of episodes of the Podzilla 1985 Network and Hunter.
We might.
As I work to, I think, power my mouse back on is what's happened here. I will let you all describe what has come and what is to come in PZ85 this week.
I was going to say Shannon is back, too.
Hey, Shannu.
Yeah,
Shannu,
hey.
You do that.
But that's the thing. We might have some things depending on the health and wealth of and well-being of our people. There you go.
Well, can't do it right now.
Oh,
yeah. So last week we missed all the episodes. I believe that's a horse man pig there that Kaz has. with hooves.
Yeah,
yes.
we did what. We just did 80 in horse time last week, I think, and that was it.
Well, allegedly, because they're airing now.
That's true.
Yeah. 80 was on was yesterday, and then horse time just went up, and this episode will go up on time, thankfully. But yeah, I would say we should still be on for the Matrix, mostly because this is the first one where someone is actively hostile towards the movie, and I'm curious to see how it goes. No spoilers.
Yeah.
No spoilers. You got to tune in tomorrow. and then we will have a new After Dark on Thursday with hopefully the return of Jesse and Shelby. And then Horses Wild on Friday, potentially. You never know when the horses are going to pop up. And Saturday, again, if you're in the Cape Girardeau area, CCW, I will maybe be wrestling this weekend. Depends on my health.
Shannon's going to be your Michael Jordan flu game. You're going to be on the sideline. You're going to be in the gorilla position, just with a towel over your head, drinking down Gatorade, and you're going to come out and score 50.
Oh, I would love to score some Gatorade right now. yeah, assuming that I survive, it's going to be me and Justin Smart, which is, by the way, if you remember Mandy's husband, in a Cape Girardeau street fight. Meanwhile, Dalton's going to be defending his tag titles with Kevin Cade against No Role Models. That's this weekend. And that's in a ladder match. I have a street fight. Dalton has a ladder match. I saw once in Perryville when Dalton did that match then. He went to do the elbow off the top of the ladder, which I thought was the dumbest thing. I'm like, Dalton, you dumb bastard. You're going to kill yourself one of these days. And as he went to do the elbow drop, the ladder slipped. So he just plummeted. One of the scariest things I've ever seen. I love Dalton. Even though I hate Dalton, I love Dalton. I don't want anything bad to happen to him unless I'm doing him. Anyway. So that's...
You're doing him.
Yeah, unless I'm doing him. I don't want him to hurt.
The wrestling community.
Oh, my.
That's for Dalton. So yeah, that's the rest of the shows this week, Cody. Probably.
It's fine. It's probably fine. That is where we stand at this episode of PZ85 Plays the Curse of Strahd. A little bit clunky. We're getting back into things after a couple of weeks hiatus, but the game is afoot. They'll take bloody tree cover for 1,000, Alex. I don't know. I was going to say anal bum cover, but that doesn't work, and I feel like that's undermining the possible deaths that are going to happen. So,
yay. And you stop, Andre.
Yeah, I think that's it. So, you know, gather up your dice, kids. Next time we're going to be throwing a lot of them, and hopefully in positive ways for, well, somebody.
Maybe I'm going to tell my staff members to not wish me good rolls because I did not have a single one tonight.
Yeah, well, I mean, law of averages, I suspect next week you'll have plenty more opportunities to maybe or maybe not succeed.
Yeah.
Right. It's probably fine. It's probably fine.
Electrocute the entire team.
Lindsay, shut the fuck up and let him finish the show. God damn it. Jesus Christ.
If she doesn't stop, I don't have to stop. And if I don't have to stop, it means the show never ends. And I keep having friends the whole time. Oh, for Bjorn, God. For Rasmus, for Zephra, for Shannon, the disembodied voice, I am Cody Sandusky, your Dungeon Master, saying thank you so much for listening to PZ85 Plays on the Podzilla 1985 Network. Beware of trees. They are dangerous and they seemingly bleed. This is why nature is awful. Good night, everybody.